Have you given much thought to the idea of artists classifying their work within the contexts of research or even within the area of knowledge? Or I'm trying to think of the content of that letter. I don't have it right in front of me,
Right.
but I think you basically just gave an argument as to how you viewed his work as valid and as a research. And I think we had talked over email in terms of an alternate to the sort of standard ethical review that
Right.
maybe could be used for art projects.
Well, first of all, our letter is mostly just saying that artists are going to move into working with biological systems and materials, and that the university is going to have to recognize that. And if they're going to have these committees, they're going to have to come to terms with other agendas other than scientific knowledge as people work in those areas.
Right.
And just the educational value of getting people other than scientists thinking about this in such a active way as actually proposing to do projects. I think at this point there's lots of beginning science ethics courses and stuff, which are
Right.
getting humanities people. But to actually propose a project seems to me it puts you into a more profound relationship with some of those issues.
Sure.
So that's mostly what I was doing with that letter, or trying to do.
Right. I mean, there's definitely people that are out there doing work that's responding to issues, but there seems to be less that are actually doing stuff, and
Right.
it throws people off, these committees and so forth. Because, for example, like I'm working with innocently enough, though I'm working with earthworms right now, and
See, no one cares about it. Anything below vertebrates,
yeah, but
you can infuse vanilla.
it's funny, but still, I'd started getting into this issue of research ethics because feedback I was getting from galleries and curators and stuff, they were like, well, what kind of damage are you doing? And so,
Well, that's good,
are you
yeah.
killing these things? And so I thought, oh God, I can get this thing approved by a research ethics board or animal care committee or whatever. With flying colors, and I can, if it ever comes up, I can send in this approval with my next grant application or whatever. Because, from their perspective, it's who cares if it's an earthworm or a frog or whatever.
Frogs, they begin to get a little worried. Anything more looks like a human,
Yeah, earthworms are pretty innocent. I had been working with flies too.
Well, you know what that shows is, it's good that the galleries are asking that question. Now, if you had gallery directors and scientific committees in universities, I bet they would turn down a lot of science projects too, just because
Oh yeah. Yeah.
people doubt the value of putting the animals to pain for even for scientific purposes.
Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, I've talked to a couple people about this. I've talked to Adam quite a bit about this, and I've talked to Natalie Germanjanko
Right.
and Eduardo Katz and some other folks. And they're all quite uniformly opposed to how you term it, but art police, where they're against this idea of there being this governing body of how to create art. But at the same time, I mean, as you very well know, it's a different story when you're working in an institution and you're wanting to access facilities in an institution and all that sort of thing. So, like,
Well, I don't think it's just facilities. I think the university feels a genuine obligation to enforce a culture's norms,
Right.
and protect the animal. I mean, it's funny. I'm sympathetic to protecting animals.
Right.
So I don't know. As artists move into that area, I think to frame it as art police is to miss something.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think, I mean, definitely there's another sort of line of thought that says that these ethical review boards are like a rubber stamp committee that don't necessarily guarantee ethical treatment of...
You mean they just wave the scientists through?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I've also been talking to scientists, and they say, well, it's a little bit of a conflict of interest, these research or these ethics boards, because they're typically inhabited by people who are from the university, and them denying applications, in effect, reduces funding that comes to their own university.
Right.
And so it's not that it's... I mean, some people have said that it's, by its nature, is sort of flawed. But another argument is that approval by a research... by a ethics board doesn't necessarily guarantee that it's going to be ethical. Or the question in the first place, or what... the research that they're doing in the first place, whether that's even valuable, you know, so...
I think at San Francisco State, they're actually a little more proactive than that. I think they do turn down grants.
Right, yeah, and it really does, it seems to vary with the jurisdiction. Like I know Adam had said that in Australia, the people there were very sort of...
Pretty easy.
Facilitating.
Yeah.
And we're at SFSU. They were more... Well, he's forwarded me all the emails.
Yeah, he's kept quite a record. You know, I think here's the problem. I mean, there's lots of problems, but it's great you're going to write this. You're going to bring clarity to the area, right?
Well, I'm hoping. I mean, this presentation that I'm giving at this conference is just giving a quick overview of the Canadian system of animal care, and from what I've seen, it's very similar to the American system.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going in and looking at a number of works and framing them within the context of either animal care or human subjects.
Good. But let me tell you what my take was that was most striking that I learned from the Adam experience. One, I really don't want to induce animal suffering if it can be avoided. I really think animal consciousness and human consciousness, that we're all linked in some way that has to be respected. But second, I realized that there's an inherent hierarchy of values in the society. If you say, I'm going to kill earthworms because I'm going to help cure cancer, go ahead, kill them. If you say, I'm going to kill earthworms because of it might... help hunger, go ahead, kill them. If you say, I'm going to kill earthworms because it might do an art project that will get us all thinking about our relationship to nature, I don't know. I mean,
right.
there's this value inherent that for science or the typical kind of science goals, a certain level of animal suffering is allowed. And as soon as you bring in art, I think the general society is much less willing. It's like the art goals aren't worth as much as the science goals or the medical goals.
Yeah.
So that's the dilemma, I think.
Yeah, I mean for me that's one of the really interesting aspects to this whole area is that it's pointing to a bigger issue. Like you might have somebody like Adam who seems to think, well, you know, if science can use animals, then and if science is valued by society, then why isn't art valued in the same way? And it's an interesting problem because, or for example, for killing a mouse, like if you know, like what you said with cancer research, that's fine. If somebody's really hungry and they want to eat a mouse and they're in the wild, then that's fine. You know, if a cat eats a mouse, that's fine. And if it's for an art project, well, I'm not quite sure if that's okay.
Right.
And there's a couple, I mean, I've thought about this quite a bit. And one of the issues, at least, that I see is this idea of generating knowledge. In that some, at least in some ways, the generation of knowledge is used as not the excuse, but
the yardstick.
Well, it's the thing. It's what propels science. And for artists, it's an interesting question, because I know Natalie Jermanchenko has looked into this a little bit in terms of whether artists are actually have the ability to create knowledge.
Oh, that's such a semantic.
Yeah, it is.
Hairy issue, yeah.
Yeah, it is, but it's still an interesting thing, you know, because death is a very simple and blunt value and ethical example, where even killing a little rat, it brings a lot of other issues up. How do you think is a responsible way for artists to think about this, and do you envision an amendment to the existing Animal Care Committee that maybe has some sort of freedom of expression clause? Or,
well, no, I would hope they'd become artistically literate and say, in the same way they say, does this seem to have scientific merit? Is it worth the suffering of this animal? Are we going to gain knowledge that will be useful or will advance understanding? You could ask similar questions. Is this art project going, if it's different, I mean, it's not useful knowledge, it's like, is it going to generate art experience that's profound enough to warrant the suffering of the animal?
Right.
And that's harder to say, and it's not an easy judgment to make, but that's the parallel.
Yeah.
I don't think artists are free of ethics.
Ethics and art, I mean, it's a whole other...
I think artists are less willing, I guess, to intervene, to put limits, and that's where you get that art police kind of notion.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I think some things artists do are repellent. And, you know, I do this with my students, you know, if you're going to cause people suffering, it shouldn't be for frivolous reasons. You know, if you can justify it somehow that I'm going to cause some people consternation, I'm going to knock them out of their normal pattern of life, which is not as bad as killing something. But still, I'd say, you know, as an artist, you need to ask yourself a question: is it worth it? Is there a reason for doing that?
Right. Yeah, and I think that's definitely a valid question, because the sort of, and these are Natalie's words, the bad boy approach where you're just sort of killing things and spilling blood on people and just doing that for a shock value. Besides the ethics of it, it just gets kind of boring. And right. If it doesn't have some larger dialogue that it's speaking to.
And realize that's a harder set of judgments somehow than it is for the scientists. I don't know why that is.
My thought on it is that it has to do with knowledge, and that there's this measurable stuff that comes out from it that can be applied to making life better, saving lives. With art, it's not really... it's difficult to say whether art creates knowledge, or whether art even can be...
Well, see, you're kind of trapping yourself in the scientific definition of knowledge.
Yeah, although knowledge can mean, I mean, knowledge is defined in a lot of different ways. It depends if you're asking a philosopher or a scientist or...
But I mean, that would be an interesting question. What is art knowledge? What is the knowledge that art generates? It's about knowledge about ourselves, about the nature of the universe, you know. Which can't quite be put in the same, codified the same way as scientific knowledge, but it's pretty important knowledge.
There's also interesting things within science, like basic knowledge or pure research, where there's this idea of the value of doing something and attaining understanding and exploration in an area,
right,
without any real application.
That's closer to art knowledge.
Yeah, and I find that really interesting.